Today is March 3rd, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $22,353.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How's it going, Rick?
Oh, not bad. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Survived another week. Ready for a weekend. I'm actually taking a long weekend this weekend.
So, nice.
Yes, I need to finish God of War. That's my plan for this weekend.
No yard work yet.
No yard work yet. I've got to take advantage of that because that's coming.
Yeah, as soon as that comes, I mean, your weekends are toast, at least for a little while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for most of the summer. Although, with my new working conditions, maybe I can actually take care of some stuff during the week and not have to just save it all for the weekend. So we'll have to see. You've been paying attention to markets at all? What's been going on in the world? And
no, not lately. I actually had a bum back this week, so I've been kind of just nursing that.
It
old sucks.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good time.
No, it was not a good time.
Sounds bad. One thing we kind of talked about a little bit before we started, Jerry Gensler, who is the head of the SEC currently, he made a comment about Bitcoin over the weekend that I thought was really interesting, and people are kind of flipping out about it. Everybody's been like crying for crypto regulations. And I can't say everybody. People within, the financial industry or traditional financial markets, people from Coinbase, those types of things, they've been calling for having some sort of regulations on crypto. And one of the first things that they hear is not what they wanted. So SEC Chair Gary Gensler affirms Bitcoin is a commodity, and that's the only one I'm going to say. So coming from his mouth right there was that, basically, Bitcoin is not a security. It cannot be treated like any other securities that are out there. And given, I mean, that's not going to stifle the crypto industry. And I mean, it's going to stifle some aspects of the crypto industry. But I mean, there's a lot of things that people trade that are securities, right? It just falls into different jurisdictions.
Yeah. Well, that kind of goes back to the point where Bitcoin is truly decentralized. There's no figurehead to go after.
Yeah.
Where every other cryptocurrency is run by a company or some type, like we're talking about. And so there is people that they can actually target.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The rest of them actually have like an address, right? They have a home location of some way, shape, or form that they can go and deliver papers to somebody's door and say, hey, you did things incorrectly. There's been a lot of different fights going on, especially right now. And I think it's kind of interesting, and it's something we kind of brought up earlier on this year as we've gone into 2023, and we kind of talked about it a little bit in the past in 2022. A lot of the stable coins are coming under attack.
Yes.
And I think the reason being is because the United States does not want to have competition against a digital dollar.
No, you know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, because there's been a lot of, and here's the weird thing, right? Like digital stable coins, you know, stable coins are meant to just stay on par with parity with a dollar. So $1 is, you know, $1 of USD Tether is $1 of American dollars. Like it's not supposed to go up or down. It's supposed to stay $1. Like basically you can transfer your funds out of Bitcoin into Tether or, US Binance coin, or I think Coinbase has one from Circle that they do, where basically you'll be able to swap back and forth without having to actually go back into the American dollar, and you can transfer those within different exchanges and those types of things. But the SEC has been going after a lot of these stable coins saying that they're securities. But the weird thing about that is that the stable coins are not meant to fluctuate. Like you're not You're not going to get rich by buying $1 million worth of Tether. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you can't go broke doing that.
You can. Tether's been one that's held its ground fairly well, and it's been proven to be backed this whole time. It's been the longest player in the stablecoin market that we've had within the crypto industry. However, like when you look at what happened with Celsius Network, those types of things, that's bad mojo, or like
FTX.
FTX, but again, I mean, they offered their own stablecoin, but they were also doing a lot of other shady stuff, right? Like they were doing staking, and they really were not backing what they had. They were basically Ponzi scheming, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, and definitely, like, if you put all your, you know, you sold your Bitcoin, put it into Tether, I wouldn't recommend that for a long term. But if you felt like that day, I don't recommend keeping your money on the exchanges anyways. And we've seen that happen time and time again. I think it's kind of interesting that they're going after all these stable coins all of a sudden. And yeah, FTX was a big part of that, but I think at the same time, they're trying to make sure that there's no competition for a digital dollar.
And then, well, for me, yeah, I can see the government doing that. It's just on the other side of it, it's looking at trying to match value for the dollar. I mean, if you don't know what's happening behind the scenes, how can you really do that effectively?
Yeah.
Without eventually getting caught with your pants down.
Yeah, and I can. The only way to do that is over collateralization, right? Like you've got to fund it so much more in advance than what it may be. That way, no matter what happens, you're covered.
Yeah.
But you'd have to have like four times whatever the value of the underlying asset's supposed to be in collateralization. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the only way I can see that working. Don't do it off any algorithm. You have got to have something that's truly backing it.
Yep. Which is a very expensive proposition.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. And then that's why I think that was one of the big things with Celsius, and as well as with, I think it was Terra Luna Classic, their stable coin that they offered. They were trying to use an algorithm to keep everything in parity with the dollar without actually having a backing. So, anyways, I just think that's kind of interesting to look at that and see where that's going to go. But we also had some other stuff that's been going on, especially with the stuff going on in the East. Russia, we know they're under heavy sanctions currently, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're actually working right now. A Russian bank is issuing bank guarantees in Chinese yuan using blockchain. So it sounds like they're trying to circumvent some things.
Very interesting.
This is, and basically from this report, they're saying that this is the first digital bank guarantee in the market, which was issued in yuan through the master chain system. Most foreign trade contracts are serviced in Chinese currency, and the demand for payment in yuan is only growing, commented Natalia Bohava. Which is kind of interesting. I think we're seeing it, and I don't want to get too caught on this because we kind of talked about this beforehand, but we're seeing a big power play taking place in the East, right?
Yeah.
And they all...
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to all circumvent the dollar somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is all coming amid sanctions imposed by the West over its invasion of Ukraine. Russia's been considering ways to reduce its dependency on the U.S. dollar and traditional financial systems, including the use of other fiat currencies, blockchain technologies, and crypto payments to circumvent restrictions. Because again, I mean, one of the beautiful things about it, and it was kind of interesting, I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and there was a gentleman on there that they were talking about how Bitcoin almost represents freedom of speech. And he's like, I don't understand what you mean by freedom of speech from Bitcoin. It's like, I think it's the censorship resistance aspect of it. Because if your words are your dollars, you know, you can kind of make your voice heard by what you buy or how you spend. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I think that's kind of what they were getting at. Also coming out of Russia, there was an investment fund focused on crypto mining to be created there. So there's been a lot of push within the Russian, I don't know if it's called a parliament or whatever the case may be, but they've been trying to really push forward on legalizing cryptocurrency within Russia and Bitcoin. So again, it's all to circumvent the current system and to find ways to not have to be so reliant on the US dollar and basically the Western financial system.
Yep. It just seems pretty fascinating that, I mean, you can't be surprised that they're trying to do this.
Yeah.
So whether or not it works, we'll see.
Yeah. And then, I mean, to kind of compound that, we had talked, I think, a couple episodes ago about Hong Kong wanting to become a new hub within Asia for the cryptocurrency system. And that was coming like a year and a half after China had kicked cryptocurrencies out of the country, and Bitcoin in particular.
At least mining, right?
Yeah, most of the mining was coming out of China at that point. And now Hong Kong is looking to enter the fray this, I believe it's this summer. I think June is when they're looking to launch that crypto desk. And they're allowed to circumvent the laws of mainland China just due to the fact that they have some special privileges of being Hong Kong to be allowed to do that. And I think they said it was $500 billion worth of assets that may be looking to jump into the system. Kind of interesting to see. We'll have to see how that plays out. But I mean, we've talked about this before where I personally think that because the halving is going to happen next year, I think we should see some sort of a rally start to take place, like a bigger rally than what we've seen so far. If you remember, like the current prices that we're seeing in Bitcoin now, we were almost there before the FTX collapse happened last year. And so I think this could be what maybe kicks off our, you know, Q3 and Q4 rallies going into the halving for this next year. But again, that makes sense, right? Like if they're looking to circumvent the traditional systems, they need a way to do it. And this could be it.
Yep. Well, I think you're right that sometime next year, things are going to take off. It's just at what point is that going to happen?
Yeah.
But if it does get an influx of liquidity, yeah, for sure. That's going to be a game changer right there.
Yeah. Yeah, because we saw, a steep pullback back whenever China did pull the plug on everything. And, there was a lot of uncertainty in the market. A lot of people didn't think that Bitcoin was going to make it without having, mining in China. But the hash rate, I want to say 2 days ago, the hash rate hit another all-time high again, crossed a new threshold.
Yep. So, taking off the biggest player in mining, it's really just slowed it down for just a second, but it's not even skipped a beat since then.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that was pretty much all I had to bring up today, but one of the things that I was looking at earlier today, I had a newsletter that came out, and I didn't write it, but the estimated average Bitcoin break-even price for those operating modern Bitcoin ASICs miners is $14,490. So we are definitely above that now. So those miners are profiting again. There was a lot of concern about whether or not with the way the markets were doing. And I think we had talked about some publicly traded mining companies that were possibly going to declare bankruptcy, those types of things. As long as they can turn a profit, they should be able to continue on.
I was going to ask, you said that it's $14,000 for the mining?
Well, that's what the base price of Bitcoin needs to be in order for the miners to be able to turn a profit.
For the high-end monitors or miners to turn a profit. And at what cost in electricity?
So right now they're showing it at 11 kilowatts, 11 cents a kilowatt.
11 cents for kilowatt hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's...
Wow.
That's what they're saying. Well, and I can't even say if that's accurate because that's the break-even electricity rate is 11 cents per kilowatt hour.
Well, if you have that rig and you're running, you're going to be earning a little bit of profits right now.
Yeah.
you're at 11 cents or under.
Yeah, if you're at 11 cents or under, and as long as the Bitcoin price is as high as it is, you should be making almost $9,000 per coin every time you get at least, well, I mean, $9,000, like you don't always ever get like a full coin or whatever, right? When you're mining, you get fractions or whatever the case may be. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. Another thing that I wanted to see on here too was the 2-year treasury yield hit a new cycle high on Wednesday, surpassing November 4th's 4.881%. So treasury yields apparently are doing slightly better than what they were before. But again, that all has to do with the inflation and everything else that's been going on with the Fed. So, and who knows what's going to continue with that? I don't know. I mean, you asked me, I think we had talked about this a couple months ago, and I was starting to feel pretty bullish about the remainder of this year. But we'll have to see what the CPI numbers come out again for January now, or no, February, sorry. So crazy to think we're almost on with the first quarter. For February, coming up here pretty soon in March, and then we'll have to see what the Fed meeting minutes are. But the Fed meeting minutes to talk about interest rate hikes are not supposed to happen until, I think, March 22nd. So we have a little while on that.
Yeah. Well, all I know is the Fed is trying to give us a soft landing. I just don't know if it's actually going to happen.
No, I don't either. I mean, there's a lot of macroeconomic professors out there and analysts that are saying that basically if we get above 5% for a sustained period of time, it's going to crash global economies all the way across the board. So we shall see that transitory inflation all over again.
Yeah. Hey, if you believe that there was a soft landing, then you definitely believed in a transitory inflation. So have fun with that.
Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to us. We hope to continue to bring you content in the future. So we'll talk to you soon.